Article 3 is managers. We're going to define what the managers are going to do in order to run this company. In 3.1, it talks about management. Basically, what we're doing is we're giving the managers authority, and we're saying that they can do whatever they want, provided that that thing hasn't been reserved to the members by the operating agreement. So we say, managers, do whatever you want, unless we have written in this agreement that the members have to do that, or that the state act requires the members to do that. And by the way, there are links to each one of the state acts in the LLC Wizard Course 2. 3.2, you're going to note that there are two choices here: the number, tenure, and qualifications of the managers. In this particular operating agreement, you have two managers, John and Joseph. You could only have one, or you could have three or four, whatever. You're going to list them here. You're going to list them by name and by address. You're going to be choosing one or the other of these two provisions. Basically, you're choosing whether you want your company, your LLC, to be member-managed or manager-managed. What does that mean? Well, if you're going to be member-managed, that means that the manager, the guy who is the officer, director, has to be an owner, a member of the LLC. Manager-managed means that you can get anybody to be a manager, officer, director of the company. They don't have to have an ownership interest in the company. In that case, you have centralized management. If it's a member-managed, you have decentralized management. And the problem is, you got your operating agreement off the internet, or the attorney handed you a bunch of pieces of paper, and you said, well, do I want it to be member-managed or manager-managed? And the fact of the matter is they said, well, it doesn't really matter. Just do whatever you want. That's not really true. If it's going to be member-managed, then the members are going to have a lot more control. The owners are going to have a lot more control over what happens in the LLC. If it's manager-managed, you're turning this baby over to this other guy, and he ain't an owner. He's just the hired gun. And this becomes important in the charging order protection, the asset protection stuff that we talk about in Course 6 of the LLC Wizard. You're making a very important choice here, and let me explain the choice to you for 2 seconds. There are four elements to a corporation. Notice I didn't say an LLC, I said a corporation. The four elements that you have to have in order to have a corporation are limited liability, everybody wants that, centralized management. That means that the officers and directors don't have to be owners of the company. They don't have to be stockholders. You want continuity of life. If one of the stockholders dies, the company goes on. I mean, somebody in IBM, one of the shareholders dies, IBM goes on. No problem, right? And you want transferability of ownership. You want to be able to sell the stock. Those are the four elements of a corporation. Now, when they created an LLC, they said, okay, we are going to basically have an entity which is not a corporation. And the way we're going to define it is we're going to say that this entity only gets two of the four elements of a corporation. It can't have more than two. That's the definition of an LLC. The catch is you get to pick which two you're going to have. Remember the story I told you about the big businessman in our state where the father, the patriarch, was dying and they came to us? The LLC was going to die with the death of the father. They didn't have continuity of life. They hadn't made that choice. Well, which choices are you going to make? The obvious one is you want limited liability. You want the corporate shield, the limited liability. Well, okay, now you've got three more that you can pick, but you only get to pick one. Can't pick two. Well, if you pick manager managed, you just picked your second one. And when the internet guys and the lawyers said, yeah, it doesn't make any difference, pick member manager, manager managed, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, guys, because you just made your second pick. If you pick a third one, you don't have an LLC. But wait, corporation has four. Has to have four. You don't have a corporation either. What have you got? Well, we're not sure exactly what you've got. This is one of those areas that the court hasn't come down on too heavy yet. But I can tell you that you don't have an LLC and you don't have a corporation. And if I'm suing you, I'm certainly going to say, hey, no corporation, no LLC, this is a partnership. And you don't get the liability shield because you screwed up. Now, the problem is, 9 out of 10 lawyers can't give you the four elements of a corporation. They can't give you the fact that you can only have two of those in an LLC. They never learned that. As a result, they're writing their operating agreement, and they say, well, gee, that sounds nice. Oh, let's pick that one, too. And then you're in trouble. So I'm going to point out these four things as we go along, and you're going to make your pick two choice. Limited liability plus one of these other three. Let's talk about the duties of the managers for 2 seconds. There's a whole long laundry list, and in fact, your state statute will have a long laundry list too. If you've got something that overrides the state, this is an optional. So your operating agreement would override what the state has to say in most cases. And the state may have something that you don't have, in which case that provision in the state statute would be able to apply to your managers. Now, that doesn't mean that you want the state's list. And some of the operating agreements will just say, we give the manager all the rights and authorities of the state statute. Well, yeah, you're going to default to the state? I don't think so. Let's name at least some of them and give our managers an idea as to what we're going to have them do. The first thing that we're going to talk about is property. The manager can deal with the real property and the other property of the LLC. You might note that your LLC can own property in a state other than the state where your LLC is organized. Now, depending upon exactly what rights the LLC wants in the property in the other state, the LLC may or may not have to register in the state where the property is. The catch is, and I see this all the time, they say, oh, asset protection. You put it in the LLC. In California, you want a Nevada LLC. You don't want a California LLC. Because the fees in California are $800 a year, just to the state. That is true. However, when you add up the state fees in Nevada and the registered agent fees, you're pretty much above $800 anyway, always. But that's beside the point. That's not the sale. The sale is, oh, do it in Nevada. Better asset protection. Save money. Run your real estate in California with the Nevada LLC. Well, you can do that. The problem is, what they fail to tell you is the tenant in California can live in the house and not pay you any rent. You can't evict the guy. There's nothing you can do about it. Because your person, your LLC, is not a resident of California. California doesn't recognize that this person, this LLC, has any rights. As a result, the LLC can't foreclose on the tenant who's not paying his rent. The LLC can't do a thing. So you're going to end up paying all the fees, everything in Nevada, plus you're going to end up paying all the fees and everything in California because you have to register in that state in order to have any rights in that state. Now, if I've just got a piece of property that's a piece of raw land in a state, I'm not going to do anything with it, maybe I wouldn't register my LLC in that state. So it's up to you, but just know that you don't have any rights in the state where the LLC owns property because the LLC isn't recognized in that state. In B, we might note personal property. That's all the computers and everything else that the company owns, the pencils, the papers, all personal property. We're going to give the manager the right to invest and dispose of assets. And you might note in D, it says that the members deem advisable. That's a formality issue. That means that the members have to approve this. In E, the manager can take title. Well, you're going to take title to the boat. The catch is that very often the people buy a boat in the name of the company, but it's their boat and they do everything they want to with the boat and they use it every weekend. The company's never reimbursed or anything else. And that's kind of called commingling. And your company's getting very close to being an alter ego and not giving you any asset protection. In F, the managers can do the banking for the LLC. In G, they can borrow money. In H, they can employ people. And they can even employ related people. That means you can employ your wife or even yourself. And that may be prevented in a big company. But in a little company, you want to state that the managers can employ related people because everybody's going to be in the family. In I, they can sue. In J, they can get insurance. And it's entirely possible that you would want key man insurance in your company. That's life insurance to replace the key man. Because if the key man goes down, the company's going to have a hard time, and it's going to take a lot of money to hire somebody to replace that key man and do everything that the key man was doing. So it's key man life insurance. And what we're saying is the managers have the ability to deal in insurance. In K, they can contract. In L, they can establish benefit plans. And the benefit plans are good stuff because you can make a lot more money in your little company if you control the taxes. And this section authorizes the managers to investigate or to implement the benefit plans and the retirement plans. M is savings. We can have savings account and all that sort of stuff. They have to keep records in N, and the majority of the members can request those records at any time. The manager's going to get to pay the taxes. You've got to pay the taxes. They can prepare the accounting. In fact, they have to prepare the accounting reports. And note that this section is date sensitive. So you need to keep track of the dates. When do the reports have to be done? And in Q, the managers can delegate authority and power to do different things. They can hire people to do stuff and delegate that power to them. So those are some of the duties that a manager should probably have in your LLC. And like I said, the state statute may even outline more, and if it does, fine, they will be applicable to your LLC. But we've defined it here. We don't have to rely on the state statutes. I want you to notice that if this is your company, you are wearing a number of hats. You're wearing a hat as a member, one of the owners. You are also wearing a hat as the manager, the guy who's running the company. And you need to remember which hat you are wearing. If you're wearing the manager hat, you're going to do what the members tell you to do. Well, that means you have to take off your manager hat, stand over in the corner with your member hat, and tell the manager what to do. The way you do that is in the resolutions, in the minutes of the meetings of the company. We have to document that the members told the managers to do such and such and such and such. And you have to be able to show to the court that you have made that delineation, that you know when you're wearing one hat, when you're wearing the other hat, and you don't mix them up. Otherwise, if you mix them up, you don't get the asset protection that you want out of your LLC. 3.4 talks about a standard of care that the manager will use in performing their duties. Obviously, if the manager isn't being honest with you and is doing all sorts of stuff, you don't want the guy as the manager. And this provision in the operating agreement says they have to live to that standard, or basically the members can remove them. This provision also protects the manager in that it says that unless the manager has committed fraud or deceit or gross negligence or willful misconduct, if the company loses money, the manager personally isn't going to be held liable. 3.5 talks about the managers not having an exclusive duty to the company. In a big company, we're going to want our manager to be full-time. In our little company, what we're doing here is we're saying, hey, we understand you're going to be doing other things. You're not going to be exclusive as a manager with this LLC. That's okay. Now we come to 3.6. The managers have to give an annual report. Basically, that is going to be a rectification of the checking account. We talk about it, and I think it's a good idea to have the manager certify that the checking account is properly held. That puts the manager on the spot. If he happens to be somebody other than me, I like that. It's a good idea, in fact, it's required, that you at least make a minute entry in the annual report that says that the members have looked at the annual report and that they got it. That's pretty much all you need to do when this is your own company. But you need to do that. And by the way, when you do it, all you put in is report given to the members. You don't want any details in your minutes. They can come back and hang you later. So we do the minutes in very specific ways. And that's what I teach you in Course 5 of the LLC Wizard. Indemnity of the managers, employees, and other agents. The company is going to pay if there's a lawsuit or something in order to defend the managers and the members. This is particularly important when the company is starting up. They're also going to reimburse the managers. The managers are going to expend money. They want money back, reimbursement from the company. Resignation of the managers. The manager can resign. And I've had a number of cases where the company is doing stuff that the company shouldn't be doing. How do you keep the manager or the officer and director from being personally responsible when the company isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, and you know that it's not going to survive the corporate shield because it's doing illegal stuff? What do you do? Well, the first thing you do is you start to resign. And I've helped people cover their butts in the past on an exit like that, and it's not easy. Under vacancies, notice that you have two choices. There are two different paragraphs that you can use. The first choice you're going to use when there are lots of unrelated members. And it's only going to require a majority vote of the members in order to replace a vacancy of the manager. Note that it does require a unanimous vote to increase the number of the managers, but not to replace the vacancy of a manager. Now, with a number of members, we're not nearly as worried if one of the members happens to lose their membership interest, or the guy gets a charging order against his membership interest. However, if it's just me and Mom, I'm going to use the second choice on the vacancy paragraphs here because it's going to require a unanimous vote in order to replace a vacancy. That means if somebody takes over one of our two membership interests, they can't just come in and vote themselves in as the new manager.